This morning, I'm just going to be talking about praise and worship. And there's so much that you can speak about on this topic. There's so much that has been spoken about. But these are just a few thoughts from my heart that I've been looking at. And, you know, Gordon prayed before about being eternally thankful. Eternally grateful, or the eternal end of what God has done for us, the life that has been given to us. And how much should we praise our God who has given us everything? Our God who has bankrupt heaven with the thing that was most precious to him, his son, and sent him down to the earth. Not only just sent him to the earth, but to suffer, to die on a cross, to pay for our sins. How much should we worship this God who loves us with such a great love? And I think we should worship him with all of our being, our body, our soul, our spirit, in all ways. And I'm just going to look at worshiping God in these three ways, going the other way around: spirit, soul, and body. I'm glad Gordon said that he would have liked to run out down the front and danced. If anybody wants to, they can at any time. You know, there's no religious chains here. If you want to, if you feel like it, you can. If you don't want to, that's fine as well. But we can worship God, body, soul, and spirit. So just to start off with a well-known passage when we're talking about worshiping. When Jesus met the woman at the well, and after she has realized that he's Jesus because he's revealed to her life, he said... So this is John 4 and verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and the Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, but we worship, for we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So God is seeking worshippers to worship him in spirit. In spirit. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we've got to be spiritually born to commune and worship a spiritual God. We must be born spiritually. I mean, Jesus went on, in the previous chapter, was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, "You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." So to worship God, you've got to be born again. You've got to worship him with God, and that comes through faith. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid for our sins, and his spirit comes to dwell within us, and we worship in spirit. We're carried along by the spirit. We take our leading from the spirit. You know, it's like a sailing boat has no power of its own, but we position ourselves like a sailing boat. We position the rope, and we get led by the spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spiritual. God is spirit, and he's building a spiritual kingdom. All the way through the Bible, God's talking about building this spiritual kingdom, talking about a new Jerusalem, talking about us being spiritual people, us being living stones. Now turn to the person next to you, say, "You're a living stone, I presume." We are living stones. For those who are in Christ, we have been made alive in Christ. 1 Peter 2 says, "Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So we are being built up as living stones into a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We are living stones. He is building a temple where his presence can dwell, and he can spend time with us, and we can offer up spiritual sacrifices to him. Hebrews 13 says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So we're talking about a spiritual house. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. And then Hebrews says, offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. It is not everything about worship, but it is the fruit of our, the praise is the fruit of our lips. Now, fruit must have a tree, must have a body. And in both these, they're both talking about sacrifice. Offering up spiritual sacrifices, the sacrifice of praise. And our sacrifice is the best of us. That's what we sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they sacrificed, or God required of them and asked them to give them the best of themselves. So he said, take the best sheep from the flock. Take the best bull, the best goat, the best dove. All those different offerings were there. And that's why Jesus was so angry in the temple. You know that one time where we see Jesus' anger displayed, where he overturns the tables? Because what people would do, they would come up to the temple, and rather than give the best of their flock, or the best of their offerings, they would go to the temple, and the money exchangers would sell them like a cheap edition, and they could offer that. It wasn't the best of themselves. It wasn't the best of their fruits. In the book of Malachi, it talks about the way God saw that. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You have defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? But saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? When you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. So what we're saying is that people were offering sacrifices of the lame. Instead of taking the best of their flock, like the one that was perfect, they would take a lame one. It's not going to make it anyway. Let's offer what's second best to God. Let's take a blind one. It can't see its way anyway. Sheep are like, sheep go all over the place and find ways to die. But they say, well, this one, it's going to be worse than all the rest. I'm going to take the blind one. And God say, that's not your best. You're not giving the best to me. And when we worship in spirit, when we offer spiritual sacrifices, it's giving the best of ourselves to God. And you can think about your life. You can do a self-examination. When you come to church on Sunday, worship isn't just about church and singing on Sunday. It's about all of our life. But when you come, do you give the best of you? Do you give all of you? Do you give all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength? Is this spiritual sacrifice? Have we given it? Have we given it all? In the Bible, worship and service are very closely linked. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, and he said when Satan wanted Jesus to worship him, Jesus said, "You shall worship the Lord your God only, and him only will you serve." So the words worship and service are linked together. In Romans 12, it talks about being. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service unto God. Or other versions of the Bible translate that into worship, because they're both very similar words. Service and worship are the same thing. So our worship is something that's all of our lives, all of our being. We give it all to God. We lay it all down as in an act of worship and an act of service to God. So we give it all to God. When we come to church on Sunday, do you come with the attitude, I'm going to give my best. I'm going to give him my all. I'm going to lift up my voice like nobody cares. Do you do that? I'll let you think about that. Do I? Do we give the best of ourselves? Or have we reserved? Or is it like the blind and the lame? You know, is it, you know, we'll keep some back. We'll keep some energy back for our work this week to try and please our boss. When he's talking about in Malachi, it says, try and offer that to your boss. Try and offer that sheep. Take as a gift to your boss, take this sheep that is blind and it's lame and see what your boss thinks. Your boss is going to go, no. So if you go into your workplace and you don't give your best, will your boss be happy? No. If you're skiving off? No. God wants our best. He's saying, you give your bosses the best. Give me the best. I want all of your hearts. I want these spiritual sacrifices. I want you to give me your all. That's an act of worship in service to him. And as we read through the Bible, you know, there's some things that God finds pleasing. Even the things that we do, we can serve God and worship him in many different ways. We can serve him and worship him by proclaiming his name, by going out and witnessing, by soul winning. I'm glad we do that as a church. We do it in various ways. You know, Romans 15:16 says that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ of the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable. So when Paul went out and he was witnessing to the Gentiles and they gave their lives to Christ, he said, you know, this offering, it was like an offering of service to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 1:11 it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So being love may abound more and more in all knowledge and discernment. So that's like love with wisdom. Who knows that love can be a foolish thing, can't it? Young people in love, do foolish things. I'm going to love them forever. You know, not thinking about how their feelings might change, but abounding in love still more and more with all knowledge and discernment. You know, giving unto God. And God says at the end of this, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. God gets glory when we love. So when we love, when we witness, our prayers. Timothy says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So these prayers that we pray for all men, for those in authority, is good and acceptable. This is an acceptable form of worship to God. So loving, witnessing, praying, honoring those who are in need, or even those who are in authority. Or honor, Timothy says, honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn how to show piety at home and to repair their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. This is a good way to sacrifice before God, that people honor and that widows honor. And that passage goes on about various different types of people honoring. Also, the way that we work, of course, when we give our best to God, we need to give our best in our work. It says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh, for this is commendable. But when you do good and suffer for the sake of it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now, this is talking in a time where people were slaves and they were harshly treated and they were thrashed if they didn't. Some people were thrashed if they didn't do their job properly. And Paul is saying here that you're to work cheerfully, even in those conditions. Now, has anybody had a bad boss? One or two. Isn't it really hard? I had a boss, and I could tell if he said hello in the morning when he came in, the day would be okay. If he came in and I said hello and he didn't say hello back, he'd go, whatever I did that day would be wrong. And I tried to be cheerful. He went through a number of different staff. Like, he just kept replacing, because on those particular days, nobody liked working for him. And I stayed over 2 years, whereas most people stayed just a few months. Because I tried to be cheerful, and it was difficult. You know, so we can worship God. It says it's acceptable and commendable before God if we do our jobs well, and we be cheerful, even if we're treated harshly. Now, there's some jobs that are more pressure environments than others, and you may have bosses that are harder, but it's commendable before God that we work. You know, the Bible says, it says in Ecclesiastes, whatever you do, do it with all of your might. And it says in Philippians or Colossians, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, as if you're serving the Lord. That word serving, it's like worship unto God, to do our best in all that we do. So we worship in spirit. Are these spiritual sacrifices? I think these are. It's not just about coming to church on a Sunday and singing, although that is part of it. Our life is an act of worship before God. And I've just mentioned a few things there that are a commendable sacrifice before God. And that's what we do in spirit. But also in our soul. You know, if you read the book of Psalms, it talks a lot about the soul. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The soul is the very center of our being. We are made of body, soul, and spirit. We get our body from our parents. We are half our mum, half our dad. Can we say hallelujah to that? Woo! Hello, mother. So we're half our mum, half our dad. We get our body from our parents, our spirit from God. God breathed into Adam, and he made him a living soul. So spirit come down. Ecclesiastes says when we die, our spirit goes back to heaven. But our soul is the person that we are. That is who we are, the center of our being. You know, and our soul is made of three parts, our mind, our heart, and our will. And David was somebody whose soul sang out to God. It said he had a heart after God. You know, the center of his being, he worshipped with his heart. The emotions is part of our being, to worship God with our emotion. And sometimes when we do sing, that is our emotions going to God. We can worship God with our mind because, you know, David said, I meditate on his precepts night and day. We can meditate on a passage of scripture. That's a way that we can worship in our soul, in our mind, because we can meditate on his word. When I went through Bible college, they said meditate on scripture. It's not like an Eastern meditation that's empty in your mind, you become an airhead. But meditation scripturally is when you meditate, you think on God's word, and you take a passage of scripture and you say, you know, for God so loved the world, and then you emphasize each word and you go over it, for God he so loved the word, and you can emphasize and you can play it over in your mind, meditate on the word of God that way. So we can worship God in our soul just by meditation. We can worship God in our will as well. You know, like Job, he said, I will not curse God. I will, and in the Psalms it says, I will refrain from the evil way. I will keep my feet. That's an act of the will. We can worship God by refraining from what we shouldn't be doing in our soul. So we are mind, we are heart, and we are will, but our heart is the center of our being. And as it says in Psalms, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. And I know that psalm was written in a desperate situation. My soul longs for you. I long for you, God. Is that our heart, to long for him, to give him the praise and the worship, to meet with him, to give up our soul to him? So we worship God in spirit from our soul, with our soul, being led by the Spirit. The deep longings and cravings of reaching up to God, and God meets us where we are. But if we're worshiping from our soul, our body is an extension of our soul. And if what's happening in here is expressed outwardly, our bodies will follow. Like Romans 12 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or reasonable worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Now, if what's going on in our soul comes out, then our bodies will be different, won't they? Gordon said he would like to come down the front and dance, and that's good. That's good. And there's different ways that our body can express our love towards God. This is something that was written by a pastor. He says, what is clear from the scriptures is that worship should be a delight and not a duty. The great Jewish feasts were times of exuberant joy and heartfelt celebration. Some of them contained an element of sorrow and repentance for sin, but this has led to the joy of knowing God's forgiveness and mercy. They were always intended to be great and glorious festivals. Infectious, joyous delight in God's presence needs urgently to be recaptured by the church of today. The emerging of our inhibitions and stiff formality is not easy for some of us. We need to remember that true worship demands sacrifice. So if we are worshiping in our soul, it should at least want to come out of our body. And now I know, as Cumbrians, I don't know what the Norwegians, you're quite reserved as well, aren't you? Just a little bit. Maybe not, just Andreas, not urine. No, definitely not urine. So I know that traditionally we're not the most exuberant of people. We don't wear our hearts on our sleeves. If you go to somewhere like Brazil where they do the carnivals, they express everything, don't they? Everything's flamboyant, woohoo, you know? A bit like my mother as well, but maybe that's the Irish. But I think we shouldn't be restrained. If you feel like it, you can present your body to worship him. You know, I know when you're alone, what do you do? Do you dance and sing more when you're alone? Or is that just me and Sue? You know? Yeah, when I'm at home, I'm comfortable at home. I'm comfortable around my kids. You know, I do dad dancing. You know, that embarrassing type of dancing. But I'm free there, and we should come to church free and able to express in our body what's happening in our soul. We should be free to do that without any religious bounds or traditions of the past. Doesn't mean you have to, but I think we should be free to. And if you look at the Psalms, it gives many different expressions of how our body can worship God. Just singing is one of them. Chronicles says, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you will prosper. And when he had consulted with his people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and which should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and all the different ites. So God sometimes set the people out in front to sing. And there was something special about our vocal cords, our voice, that when we sing, things happen, that victories are won when we sing. Who sings in the shower? We feel comfortable there. We're really belted out there. We can belt it out before God. We can sing. Singing is one of the things that God wants us to do. Ephesians 5 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another." So this is speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making what? Melody in your heart. Now, all my kids are different. Some are more shy than others. But Noah often goes around the house singing his own little songs, making melodies in his heart. You know, I can't remember what they are now, but it's something like, "God is so good." And he'd be chuntering around and he's just making melody in his heart. But it says before that, you know, singing psalms to one another because it edifies one another. Lifting up your voice as we sing, and there's a pause between the worship songs, that's the time when if there's something on your heart, you can sing out. Or when communion's coming, sometimes we can sing out whatever God has placed upon our heart. You know, even if our church hasn't done it in the past, you know, this is what it says here. It says, you know, be filled with Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God. Singing is one way that our body can worship. Jonathan Edwards said that singing stirs up our affections and our emotions. Now, our emotions, like I said before, are part of our being. And if we're to worship God with all of us, our emotions will play a part of it. And as we sing, it releases, you know, it releases us to express our emotions to God. Now, I think there are churches that are emotionally led that maybe go too far, but I still emotions are part of our being. And as we sing, we will feel close to God. We will feel His presence. We will know, and we can express ourselves in singing in a way that we can't do in other ways. Because it reaches or expresses a deep part of us, a deep part of our heart that can't be expressed in other ways. Singing is really, really important. Singing His praise. The Bible says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, and His praise the assembly of His saints." So praising and singing are important. This world is full of praise. We praise all sorts of different things. We praise footballers, musicians, movie stars. We praise somebody on their new haircut, you know, on their style and what they're wearing. And those things are nice. The world is full of praise. I think praise is something that caps off what happens in the rest of our worship. I was just reading what C.S. Lewis wrote. He said, "The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses, Romeo praising Juliet and vice versa, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of the weather, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, even sometimes politicians or scholars." Maybe not in America at the moment, but... "Except where intolerably adverse circumstances interfere, praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. I had not noticed either that men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that magnificent? The psalmist is telling everyone to praise God, and are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about." You know, when we went to the Seychelles, we came back telling everybody how good the beaches were. "Wow, look at those beaches. Every beach you go to, sandy, beautiful palm trees." We praised. You know, when Joel did well in his exams, yay. When your kids do well in the exams, yay. You know, we praise the kids. Praise comes naturally from the lips. We praise a lot of things, but to praise God is the ultimate. To praise Him above all others, to praise God and thank God for good exam results or nice beaches or friends or family, to praise God for all those things. C.S. Lewis went on to say, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise is not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment in its appointed consummation." I went to India before Joel was born. Claire and I were both booked to go on the plane to India. We were going to visit some children's home. I travel around for a while. Claire fell pregnant with Joel. We didn't think it was a good idea to go to India Claire to go because, you know, the various bugs out there. So I went on, and I went with some friends to start with, but then I went off on my own. And when I was going around, I enjoyed what I was seeing. And, you know, I savored it in my heart. I watched the animals, I met the people, I saw the sights, the sounds. But it wasn't quite the same as sharing it with Claire. I didn't have that chance to vocalize what I was seeing. It was almost like the praise was incomplete. Because I didn't say, "Oh, wow, Claire, look at that." Or, you know, "Oh, look at those birds." Or, "See how many kids they are." And one of the things when we went to New Zealand that made it extra special for us is because we could hear the praise of the kids. Because they were saying, "Oh, Dad, look at the volcano. Dad, look at the black rocks. Dad, look what a trick I did in the skateboard." Can you think which one that was? Yeah. But, you know, so they were wanting us to join in. It, you know, that praise completes what has started in our heart. So when I saw something in India, I savored it. I thought, yeah, this is nice, but it wasn't complete. And when we come on a Sunday to praise, or when we praise in the week, it completes our worship. That vocalization of praying and singing out. So this, C.S. Lewis says this, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because praise is not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is the appointed consummation. It is not out of a compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. If it were possible for a created soul fully to appreciate, that is to love and delight in, the worthiest object of all, and simultaneously at every moment to give this delight perfect expression, then the soul would be in supreme beatitude. The Scotch Catechism says that a man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But we shall then know that these are the same thing. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify Him, God is inviting us to enjoy Him." When God asks for our praise, He's inviting us to worship Him, to enjoy Him, to think about His beauty and majesty. And when He asks us to say it, it's like so our joy will be full. Of He is to be worshipped. And you know, it's a bit strange. If I was to say, you know, I'm asking you to say something good about me. Come on, say it. There must be lots and lots of things. Oh, thank you. Right, you don't have to lie. But, you know, it's a little odd when people ask for praise, isn't it? I think. It's a little odd when you know, come on, tell me how good I am. Bring it on. Lots more things. You know, it's a little odd. But God requires an ask for that. Because He knows our enjoyment in Him, our relationship in Him will be completed when we voice what's in our heart towards Him, when we lift up His voice, when they say, "I praise You, Lord. I thank You for all Your benefits. I thank You for all that You've given." Does this make sense? It completes it when we worship in the car and when we come together. You know, we don't always understand why we ask this to meet together, but as we sing as a body and as a group, you know, we're able to meet with Him and appreciate everything that he is. So singing is very, I think, is a very important part. In the book of Psalms, a few times it says, let them sing. When God says, let them, what he's really saying is, I want you to. When he said, let there be light, there was light. When he said, let them sing, that means he wants us to sing. He wants us to express what's inside on the outside. Also, in the Bible it says to lift up a shout. I had it here before, but I've forgotten. I've lost my place. We're to shout to the Lord at the right time, in the right place. You know, we sang a song before, shout to the Lord. And I know Gordon, when we're singing those songs, quite often shouts out loud. So at certain times, it's good to shout. When your team scores a goal, what do? Hey! Come on, you black and whites. Not the reds, not blues. You know, it's a shout. It's an act of praise. And we can, at the right moment, shout to God. There are inappropriate moments to shout. Maybe when we're having that quiet time. That is not the time to shout. Where's John when you need him? but there is a time when we can shout. We can express something in a shout. Now, this goes beyond our traditional Cumbrian or Norwegian pose, doesn't it? We wouldn't be as raucous as to shout. But sometimes at the right time, go out. If you don't feel comfortable, go out in a field and do it. Shout to God. It's allowed. The Bible says it, let them shout. So that means he wants us to do it. Should we have a little shout? Yes. Yeah, who said, yeah, let's shout out. Amen. That's all right. How do you feel? Everybody all together. Amen. Amen. How's that feel? Is it good? Yes. You know, Angus Buckingham does that. It's good to shout and shout out, amen. And Angus Buckingham go, amen. And all the men at this conference go, amen. That's good. We can shout at the appropriate moment. And I've just allowed that, so that's good. We can also dance. The Bible says, let them dance. That doesn't mean we have to. And I know I've preached at a church in Newcastle, and it's mostly African people, and they dance. They're going for it. They're jigging and shaking, and I'm the little white man in the middle kind of doing a little two-step. That's my dance. It's a dad dance, you know. But the Bible says we can. It's in the Bible. It's there. They danced. David danced before the Lord. You know, he did it in an undignified way, and he said, I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. So he didn't care what everybody saw. He danced. And we have the freedom to do that here if you want to. You know, and there is an appropriate time to dance and an appropriate way to dance. If you're shaking your little tush like you're on a music video, maybe that's not so appropriate. But there's appropriate dance where we lift our hands, we move our feet. When I go to that church in Newcastle, they're moving their feet all of the time. And you've seen the African churches, it's natural. To most churches, in fact, I think we have our English tradition or British tradition where we don't feel as comfortable, but all the other countries I've been to the world, or most of the other countries, they feel free. In the Seychelles, they do a lot of swaying. They're pretty cool people, you know. They're like this. And, you know, they go to Africa, and every bit's going. You go to New Zealand, they feel more free. In India, they have this weird style of dancing, but it's still dancing. Miriam, the prophetess in the Old Testament, they took the timbrel in their hand, and the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. It's okay to dance. We don't have to. We can do the little two-step. We can raise our hands. And I know if you've been to a traditional church all your life, it's difficult to do. I have danced in church. But when you first, even when you raise your arms and you've never done it before, you feel like everybody's watching you, even if you're at the back of the church. And you kind of like check around, you put your arm up, and then you put another one up, and then you get a little jig on, and, you know, side to side. And it's okay. Once you've got past that initial, tradition, it's okay. The Bible says we can do it. God said, let them dance, let them sing, let them shout. Within our religion, sometimes we think it's do not, don't do this. But God sometimes says, let them. He said, let them dance, let them sing, let them shout. Just to, one more thing, like we did before. Psalm 47 says, oh, clap your hands. All you people, shout to God with the voice of the trumpet. So they're shouting and clapping. Clapping's a good thing, isn't it? At football matches, we do it. We can do it in church. I remember a few months ago witnessing to a guy in Appleby. In fact, I'd never met this guy before, but I'd prayed for him the day before with his daughter-in-law. And we prayed together for the family. And then I happened to sit down in Appleby next to this random person. And he was sat there, and I witnessed, and I shared the gospel with him. And he said, oh, my daughter-in-law is one of those happy, clappy Christians. I thought, well, she's happy, and she claps. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's okay. Being happy and clapping is better than being miserable and just sitting there. But clap your hands. It's a noise. The Bible also talks about the loud cymbals. We have a loud cymbal there. You know, clap your hands. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. These things are okay within their reason. So in our body, so we worship God in spirit. We offer up spiritual sacrifices to him in various different ways. We praise him with our soul. We praise and worship from our innermost being. And that should be in some way expressed to our body. And we can do it our own style. Like, I think when we're talking about worship styles, there's so many arguments you can get into with the church. Like, it's one person's got their style of doing it. Another person's got their style of doing it. Some people like those types of songs. Some people like those style of songs. My personal preference, because I think worship and praise is a celebration. I like the lively songs. When I worship God, to give from me, I like a certain style of music. Like, I like lively songs with guitars, with a good beat. I like where I can do my little jig, my little dad dance. That's what I like, but that's just my style. I feel that's me giving my best to God, but I realize other people like their different style. And I think as a church, we should allow each person have a range of different styles, but not get so hung up on a style, but worship God. But I always think that we should rejoice and be happy. A few of those verses in Psalms says, be joyful and be happy. You know, it is great to sing about the cross and to think about the cross and have a moment where we dwell on that. But from the cross, what comes from the cross? It comes our freedom, which is a rejoicing. I remember every year when we turned the cows out in the spring, like they'd been inside, dirty, smelly, and they were let out and they skipped and hopped and danced all round. It seemed as if the back end was going faster than the front end. They skipped, they were joyful. And I think in our worship we should be joyful. We should be happy. I like those tunes that are lively and upbeat, and because from his death brought us freedom. And also when we remember his cross, we've also got to remember his resurrection, that there is life, that he is still alive, hallelujah, that we can sing and praise and worship with him. So I know this morning that this has been a whole load of different thoughts put together, and there's loads that can be said on it, but I think we should worship him in spirit, in soul, and in our body. And as we sing to him, I'll just leave you with this, that the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. So if we can imagine that as we lift up our heart, our soul, in the spirit, as we sing to him, he is singing over us. Like people who love each other sing to each other. You sing to your children. Jesus, God sings over us. He created singing. Zephaniah 3, he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with his singing. And if we are in Christ, we are loved by God. We are loved by God, and he will sing over us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come, we can worship you, we can give of our all to you. I thank you that you've given us these words this morning. I pray that your words will be remembered, mine will be forgotten. Lord, that we'll remember you. In the night watches, we'll remember you, and we will praise from the depths of our heart, from our soul, our inner being. Lord, help us to remember every day and every week to bring our best to you, to offer the best of our heart and to not hold back. I pray, Lord, that you will be pleased with us and you will sing back over us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.